Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Death Notices. Petra Martinez Chavez, Odessa. Petra Martinez Chavez, 86, of Odessa, died Tuesday, December 6, 2022, in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 12 o'clock p.m., December 10th, 2022, at First Baptist Church, Odessa. Reverend Dr. Byron McWilliams is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Israel Arona Shakiro Villa, Odessa. Israel Arona Shakiro Villa, 41, of Odessa, died Sunday, December 4th, 2022, in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. Friday, December 9th, 2022, Iglesia del Dios Vivo, 6841 West Dunn Street, Odessa, Texas. Burial follows at Sunset Memorial Garden Cemetery. Pastor Emilio Hernandez is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Local news roundup. Odessan arrested after warrant issued. A 36-year-old man was arrested on a warrant Wednesday that was filed after his former girlfriend accused him of attacking her for the third time in 2 months. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Patrick Durrell Garland is accused of striking a 34-year-old in the face with a sandal on July 10th in Midland, choking her in Odessa on July 3rd, and punching her and threatening to kill her on September 24th, while at a residence in the 2500 block of North Tom Green Avenue in Odessa. A warrant was issued for Garland's arrest on suspicion of continuous violence against the family, a third-degree felony, on November 16th, and he was arrested on it Wednesday. Garland remained in the Ector County Jail Thursday on a $10,000 surety bond. Midland Police investigate homicide. At around 5 a.m. December 8th, officers with the Midland Police Department responded to a stabbing at the Hometown Studios located on South Midkiff Road. The Midland Police are currently investigating the incident as a homicide, a news release said. More information will be released as it becomes available. Two die in Permian Basin crashes. Local law enforcement agencies are investigating two unrelated fatal crashes. According to the Midland Police Department, a driver was killed in a rollover crash in the 5700 block of Highway 191 around 6:30 a.m. Thursday. The vehicle was traveling east in the inside lane when it skidded sideways, crossed the outside lane, entered the median, and rolled. According to MPD, the driver, who wasn't wearing a seatbelt, was thrown from the vehicle and pronounced dead at the scene. Officers believe the driver was speeding and impaired, according to MPD. The driver's name is being withheld until their next of kin is notified. The Texas Department of Public Safety is also investigating Wednesday's death of Maxwell Lawrence Butcher, 25, of Austin in Reeves County. According to DPS, Butcher was traveling west on IH-10 when his Toyota FJ Cruiser veered off the south side of the roadway shortly after 10 a.m. He overcorrected and the vehicle rolled over off the north side of the roadway into a ravine. Butcher, who was not wearing a seatbelt, was pronounced dead at the scene.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Saturday, December 3, 2022. Viewpoints. City's people keep us on track for greatness. Robin Poole, at-large councilwoman. As we enter into the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, my thoughts turn to how truly grateful I am to live, work, and fellowship within the walls of our wonderful city. As I near the end of my first year as a council member, I feel fortunate and humbled that I have been able to see our city function and come together from a totally new perspective. I would love to share some of my reflections with you as we look ahead to a new year. City government. Although I knew the entity of the city was comprised of departments and staff, it wasn't until I stepped into my role as a council member that I realized how proficient, accomplished, and devoted our staff is. From the city manager's office to every department director and his or her staff, you will find people who are dedicated to their position and the residents they serve. Shortly before I was sworn in, Carl Crago, Director of Utilities, hosted a field trip out to the T-Bar well field, where I spent the day learning about T-Bar and our water sources, as well as getting to know Carl and part of his story. His education, work history, and depth of knowledge is astounding. Much in the same regard, Justine Ruff, our director of airports, has a deep-seated love for aviation and has a coveted degree from Embry-Riddle. She has not only been instrumental in teaching me the ins and outs of airport operations, but through her passion and wisdom, she inadvertently helped my son find his career path. And finally, Gracie Martinez, who now serves in the city secretary's office, is quite possibly the sweetest human you will ever meet. She faithfully and graciously greeted City Hall visitors for 3.5 years and was a help to all who called and stopped in. You don't have to take my word for it. This past month alone, I have had constituents reach out to commend our staff in multiple ways. I received a call bragging on our park staff for diligently taking care of Tumbleweed Park and creating a beautiful setting for constituents' morning walks. Another constituent reached out to share their praise for Lori Butts, who runs the Citizens Collection Center like a well-oiled machine, efficient and no-nonsense. And while not exhaustive, these examples undeniably show that our staff is our greatest asset. Dedicated leadership. Leadership goes beyond a title. Midland is blessed to have strong leadership in every sector, and together, these people of influence work together to do what's best for Midland in spite of their differences. We have elected officials who, across the board, undoubtedly care about our community. Officials within all 5 taxing entities chose to run for office, and they willingly give of their time, energy, and resources because of an innate call to serve. Leaders within local foundations and nonprofits serve as the city's boots on the ground. Due to their diverse purposes and functions, leaders within the sector can provide a precise assessment of what our community and its residents need. From community services to quality of life projects to healthcare and beyond, foundations and nonprofits truly strengthen the framework of our daily life. As a leading energy capital, Midland's private sector and its frontrunners not only know what our economy requires to thrive, but also what appeals to their employees, who are also our residents. Industry leaders have stepped up to the plate to fund successful public-private partnerships, generously give to local organizations and charities, and lend their voices to promote the values Midlanders hold dear. Each of these sectors provide unique outlooks and experiences that ultimately work together to facilitate development, encourage participation, and plan for long-term sustainability. Engaged populace. In order to have a thriving society, its members must interact with the community around them. Midland is fortunate to have people lining up to take active roles in their churches, schools, sports associations, local government boards and commissions, charities and nonprofits, as well as community outreach programs. As evidenced by our latest election, we have a populace that wants to have its voice heard. Whether it is a vote for change, an email sent to voice a concern, or a question asked at a town hall or debate, the residents of Midland have plenty to say and are seeking to take part in the democratic process. People. When I look at all the moving pieces that make our city flourish, I can't help but notice the common denominator in each. The people. No matter what role they fill, it's the people of Midland that make us a community. And it's their distinct personalities and giftings, as well as their determination, that keep us on the course for greatness. MISD staff deserve the public's gratitude. Reagan Iñojos, guest columnist. Every year we circle back to the question of what we are thankful for. Every year we share many of the same answers, such as family, health, friends, etc. This year, more than any other year, I am very thankful for a specific group of people, the employees in MISD. Going through the past year with the departure of Superintendent Angelica Ramsey, the challenges of teaching during COVID, the politicization of education across the country, and of course the issues that we continue to deal with in our own district, It's our MISD employees who have been a model of faithfulness. I want to highlight an even more specific group of employees in the district. The faculty and staff at Alamo Junior High School and Legacy Freshman High School. For 2 years, these campuses have been in headlines, topics of public comment in school board meetings and subjects of social media chatter and sometimes uproar. Having a child at these schools compelled me to walk into these campuses and see what assistance I could provide. I don't need to remind everyone what these campuses were and still are in some respects, encountering day to day, but I will tell you there are some challenges I saw over the past 2 years that not everyone could tolerate. The grit and faithfulness of the staff on these campuses is an absolute testament to the things that are what's right in the world. They endure in a profession that is forced to deal with changing leadership from school boards to administration, behavior from children who can be challenging even to law enforcement, compensation that does not always reflect the sacrifices they make, facilities that are aging, morale that causes some to leave, and parents who have orders to not trespass on campus. It's in those situations when you see the best in people. I can tell you from first-hand experience that the staff and employees at Alamo and Lee Freshman want what's best for children. There will always be that fraction of a percent in any organization that's not in it for the right reasons, but the vast majority of staff at these schools genuinely want to see our kids succeed. Instead of posting social media comments that seek to tear down these campuses, we need to step onto campuses and ask, how can I help? I don't mean showing up to see what a person can find wrong and then telling them how they need to do better. I mean genuinely building relationships with staff and being a support network for them. Someone made a snide comment during my campaign because I suggested that we can buy a teacher a cup of coffee to boost morale. What they fail to understand is that not everyone can devote hours a day on campus, but a thank you note, a cup of coffee, a cupcake, or gift card can make all the difference in a staff member's day. This thank you letter to the staff at Alamo, LFHS, and the district is costing me absolutely nothing. But my hope is that everyone reading this will add one more thing to their list of things to be thankful for. And maybe it's enough to keep our MISD staff encouraged to continue the mission. I am thankful for the souls that pour into the little souls of our community every day. I see you. God bless you and all you do for our community.
Obituaries. Betty Jane Rogers Williamson. Betty Jane Rogers was born June 20, 1932, to David Ellis Rogers and Pearl Wilson Rogers in Village, Arkansas. Her mother died when Betty was 8 years old and her younger sister, Martha Jean, was 3. Her father was remarried, so Betty and her dad raised Martha. While in high school, Betty met Bob Williamson, and he gave her the name Shorty. They were married in Village, Arkansas on September 5th, 1950. The family will receive gifts from 5 o'clock p.m. to 6 o'clock p.m. Friday, December the 9th, 2022, at Nallie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Celebration of Life will be held at 2 p.m. Saturday, December the 10th, 2022, at the First Christian Church in Midland. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Scottish Rite for Children, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, or charity of your choice. Brenda M. Walker Wallace. Brenda M. Walker Wallace, 65, devoted mother, grandmother, and sister, passed away in her home on Friday, December the 2nd, in Granbury, Texas. Brenda was born on May 31, 1957, in Midland, Texas, to Henry and Evelyn Walker. She loved country music and had a beautiful singing voice. Although she never made it to Nashville, Brenda was a people person and had a heart of gold. She will affectionately be remembered as BB, Mimi, or Aunt B to those who loved her. A memorial service celebrating her life will be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, December the 10th, 2022, at the Wiley Funeral Home at 400 Highway 377 East in Granbury. Following the service will be a celebration in her honor at Warren's Backyard, 2901 Weatherford Highway in Granbury. In lieu of flowers, the family requests donations be made to the Silverado Foundation or the Second Chance Farm Animal Rescue. Please visit their websites for information, silverado.com/foundation or www.secondchancefarmgranbury.org. Oscar Steve Watlington. Oscar Steve Watlington passed away on November 26, 2022, at the age of 80. He was born on November 17, 1942. Steve was a free spirit living life on his own terms. He led an interesting life filled with many adventures and a variety of work experiences. Graveside service will be held Monday, December the 12th, 2022, at 3 o'clock p.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park and Mausoleum. He will be greatly missed by his companion and his cat, Kumon, close family and friends. Donations may be made to the American Heart Association, Animal Shelter, or a charity of your choice. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. Azarion Zaza Jennings. Azarion Zaza Jennings passed away November 30, 2022 in Midland, Texas. Funeral service will be at 11 a.m. Friday, December 9, 2022 at Goodwill Missionary Baptist Church with Drew Barker officiating. A wake will be held on Thursday, December 8, 2022 at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home in Midland, Texas from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. Barbara A. Schatz, born May 15, 1928 in New Jersey, passed away in Houston, December the 2nd, 2022. Graduate of Miami University, Oxford, Ohio, 1949, married Frank Lee Schatz, 1950. The couple lived in Dallas, Midland, Abilene, and Roswell. Barbara Schatz was a member of Holy Trinity Episcopal Church. Atmos donates $150,000 to senior life in Midland. As the population of Midland has dramatically increased and the needs of seniors continue to change, Senior Life Midland, along with community partners such as Atmos Energy, are committed to providing service that meets these needs. In pursuit of our mission to address challenges relating to aging and develop efficient, flexible, and compassionate ways to meet the needs of our community, Senior Life Midlands, Together We Are More, capital campaign was launched to expand capabilities and fulfill the growing needs of our aging senior population. Kathleen Kerwan Haney, Senior Life Midlands Executive Director, details this shift, never before in our history as an organization has the need for growth been more evident. We have known for some time that we need additional space and have struggled with the challenges of an aging facility. With recent events, both locally and throughout the world, I have seen firsthand the evolving needs of seniors. Senior Life Midland reported this week that Atmos Energy donated $150,000 to Together We Are More capital campaign. A check presentation took place Thursday. With this report, Senior Life Midland will be able to expand the Meals on Wheels kitchen and meal prep area in the new building, as well as provide ADA compliance safety measures for staff and volunteers, updated technology, and improved traffic flow to manage Senior Life Midland 7 programs effectively and efficiently. Construction began earlier this year in 2022. Over the past 48 years, Senior Life in Midland has served the most food insecure, homebound seniors and the active, independent senior population in Midland. Servicing include Meals on Wheels, Meals on Wheels for Paws, One Day at a Time, Handyman Services, Retired Senior Volunteer Program, RSVP, Foster Grandparents, Senior Companions, and AmeriCorps Seniors, all designed to address hunger and malnutrition, loneliness, and social isolation, home safety and security, aging information, and education. The Together We Are More capital campaign has secured the majority of the funds needed for the new facility. One way you can make a difference is by taking part in the Community Brick campaign. For more information, please visit seniorlifemidland.org.
Implants might be correlated to rare cancers. Dear Dr. Roach, I recently caught a quick news headline on breast cancer stating that there are now findings of cancer in women who have had breast implants. What can you tell us about these new findings and studies? Any updated information about breast cancer for women with implants would be appreciated by many who have implants themselves and their family members. Answer. In 2019, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA, identified a rare cancer, anaplastic large cell lymphoma, as being associated with a particular type of textured breast implants, the vast majority made by one company, Allergan, who was requested to and subsequently did recall all textured breast implants. In September 2022, the FDA noted 10 cases of squamous cell carcinoma in people with breast implants, but also noted that there is not, quote, enough information to say whether breast implants cause these cancers or if some implants pose higher risk than others, end quote. They continued, quote, the FDA does not recommend the removal of breast implants because of this safety communication, end quote. The communication also noted different types of lymphomas, not the same as those identified in 2019, associated with both textured and smooth implants. Squamous cell cancer and these lymphomas are rare cancers whose incidence are not well described, so it is not clear if implants increase the risk of developing this cancer, or if they do, by how much. For the anaplastic large cell lymphoma, an analysis of 6 published studies showed a risk of about 1 in 10,000 people over a lifetime of a breast implant. Even though this risk is small, it should still be considered by anyone considering a breast implant. I would not recommend removing a breast implant just because of these reports of extremely rare cancers. Any operation has risks, even plastic surgeries, and in my opinion, it is not clear that the benefits of removing implants are worth that small risk. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
This is Dear Abby. Strangers saw conversation in vastly different lights. Dear Abby, my boyfriend of 2 years works for a company with 160 employees, 95 miles from our town. He held a party at a restaurant located near the company. I knew no one and doubt very much I will ever run into these people again. While I was at the party, I met a young woman who, like myself, was there with her boyfriend and didn't know anyone. We chatted for half an hour about the holidays and made general conversation. When she mentioned she had been recently diagnosed with a condition I have, too, I gave her some websites to check out for information, and I told her not to worry. I also told her that if I can be well and deal with this issue, anyone can. Our conversation lasted about 15 minutes, and I asked no personal questions. Then I had to leave the party, and she remained sitting by herself and started playing with her phone. The next day, my boyfriend was angry because upon leaving with her boyfriend, the woman told him, "Your girlfriend kept nagging me about my condition and wouldn't shut up." I was dumbfounded and hurt. I was trying to be nice. Why did my boyfriend tell me? He said nothing to her to defend me. Even worse, what did he accomplish by repeating what she said? He knew it would make me feel bad. I'll never run into these people again. Am I wrong in feeling hurt? Dumbfounded in the East. Dear Dumbfounded, I'm still trying to figure out why someone would tell a stranger at a party her medical status and then take offense if the person tried to be helpful. If what you were saying made her uncomfortable, she should have said it to you, not to your boyfriend. You aren't wrong for feeling hurt. However, you are wrong to blame your boyfriend for telling you something he thought you needed to hear. That's what people who love each other do. Dear Abby, my partner and I have been together for 11 years, living together for 7. He's a realtor in the hometown. I had a stroke 4 years ago, which forced me into early retirement. Real estate is a dog-eat-dog occupation. Paychecks are few and far between. So I pay the rent and all the household bills. He pays his personal bills and the cost of doing business as a realtor. He is currently broke and doesn't have the money to pay his personal bills. I refuse to pay them. I think he should get a part-time job and pay his own bills, but he refuses. Of course, there will be a backlash and he'll blame me. He will lose his car, telephone, real estate, license, health, and car insurance, etc. I have bailed him out before, but I am no longer willing to do it because I'm running out of what money I had set aside for retirement. He already owes me thousands of dollars in several loans, which I don't expect to recover. What do I do? I don't want to split up or continue to argue over this. Planning ahead. Dear Planning, your partner refuses to look for a part-time job so he can be self-supporting and do not dependent on you? Dear lady, you may not want to split up after this amount of time, but your partner is a luxury you can no longer afford. Stop arguing, accept it, and move on. Dear Abby, what is a proper tip to leave a server at an all-you-can-eat buffet? They bring water and bust the table, but we get our own food and drinks. They certainly don't work as hard as servers in a sit-down restaurant. Wondering in the East. Dear Wondering, the employees you describe are also working hard. If you're eating in a restaurant, leave a couple of dollars for the bussers who are clearing the dishes. If you receive service in addition to that, leave 10%.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.